Welcome back to Happy Porch Radio, the podcast for progressive agency owners and web professionals. Season 3 is focused on the growing number of agencies who are making the world a better place. We explore what this even means. Why is it different from any other agency? And how can it be reconciled with the real-world challenges of running a profitable agency? Join your host, Barry O'Kane, as he speaks to leaders of agencies who are driven by their values to positively impact the world around them.
360 Berlin is an integrated advertising agency who, as well as their expertise in advertising, are driven by their values. This means they work exclusively with sustainable brands. And in this interview, the founder, Andrea, shares what led her and her partners to founding the agency, about how vital their values are to the agency and how strong a stance they take. For example, she describes how the vetting process they use to select the clients that they work with. And as well as talking openly and honestly about how their impact is at least as important as the financial success of the agency, she also shares how those values drive them to take responsibility for a wider conversation in the industry, which in turn has led to becoming involved in EU initiatives around protecting online buyers' privacy and supplier workshops in developing countries, all of which makes a much cooler portfolio than your standard ad agency. So I hope you find this interview as inspiring as I did.
How we founded the agency. Then I've been first working on the creative side in Paris for BETC Euro RSCG. And then I joined the strategic media planning side in London for different accounts such as LG and Philips. And very quickly, I realized that it didn't make any sense to have such a huge division between the media side and the creative side. It did make sense to have such a big division, I would say, 20 years ago when the TV spends in the media plan were so high. But the thing is, nowadays, online is taking a much more proportion of the budgets of any campaign. And I've been able, in the different accounts, to negotiate more and more added value, which could not only benefit the media side, but also the creative side. And then I have two colleagues that I was working with that we were entirely agreeing with that insight, and we really strongly thought that, first of all, we were lacking of having a very streamlined information between the two sides, the creative and the media side. And probably, as you know, when you have two different agencies, even if the client requires these two sides to work together, it doesn't always happen. That's the first thing. The second thing is we could make more savings by having these two sides implicating. And the last thing, which is a very important thing as well, is that we were doing a strategy on the media side, but the creative side was doing also in many accounts that I was working on another strategy for the creative side. But the thing is, it would make much more sense to work strongly together on the same brief, on the strategy as well. And this happened specifically on the Volkswagen account, that the client was specifically asking us, then the creative and the media side, to work together, but it didn't always happen with other agencies. And then we really had an urge with the other partners to start creating this agency. Then this is the first really rationale that we had. And the second one that we had was that after working on so many different accounts such as LG, Philips, Heineken and Volkswagen, which was an amazing experience, I was thinking, now if I need to take another step, a new step, I would like to work for something that I really truly believe in. And I think if we take into consideration the era we are living in, just to promote a product without even knowing what we are promoting or having to agree on what we promote, make us responsible on the message we actually deliver. And I was thinking, this is quite unfair. I would like to strongly promote and work for brands I truly believe. And then these were the two main rationales that we had when we created 360 Agency Berlin. Mm. And then, yeah, which was totally innovative for the industry.
Yeah. I was just going to say that's quite a, so the combining of the media and the creative side, the buying and the creative side, is something I think that is more common, or is people looking at more integrated approaches or different approaches more common now than in okay. the past. But then also looking at it from your, I guess, values, like you said, really brands and campaigns and things that you really personally connect to. Was that difficult? Was that challenging to do that at the early days of setting up the agency?
It was, for many reasons. The first one is on a global level, because we have not only 360 Agency Berlin, but now we have 360 Agency Americas and 360 Agency Europe as well. And then at the time when we created the agency, you didn't have a global agency, which is truly imbricating the two disciplines of media and creative. To give you an example, Mindshare or Mediacom, who are huge media companies, have little sisters, such as YNR, for example. And in each advertising group, you will see that most of the time there is a big media entity and another big creative one. And then it was not only challenging, but it was not so current. And then in this sense, it was definitely a challenge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so tell me, if you don't mind, a little bit about the process of with your fellow founders, when you say, okay, we're going to start an agency and we're going to have this identity and we're going to work, we want to work with these types of brands. What were the steps? What was that journey like?
The journey was actually easier than what we found, was that what we could expect. Then we created the agency in Germany, and it's actually unbelievable how easy the process is. Like the most legitimate company, or I would say the more important status, it's a GmbH. And GmbH is actually quite easy to found here in Germany. And then you just need funds, basically, a notary, and an accountant. And then it was easier than what would have been that process if we would have funded it in France. And in comparison as well, it has been much easier to found it in Germany, Berlin, if we take into consideration our principles, as if we would have founded it in London. And this is why actually we called it 360 Agency Berlin at the start, because Berlin, it's really a very progressive city. A lot of people are turning towards sustainability, ethical products and brands. And then it was, I would say, very warmly welcomed to open this agency in Berlin. We even had some help from people from the government trying to help us on how we could maneuver. We would have done that in London. I think people would have laughed at us. And then in that sense, it was much easier to do it in Germany.
That's really interesting. So, and you think, is that something that's unique to the environment you're describing in Berlin or in Germany there? Or is that something that you've seen in other places? Now that you're growing the agency?
I think with the conditions of today, what's happening, the conjuncture of the climate today, I think more and more countries and more people are massively concerned and are agreeing with these principles. I think it's something, it's in the interest of everyone, you know, to start really looking on what is behind the chains of production and what is the real impact on the environment of what the brands we promote produce, you know. I think we are all responsible for what's happening. I think this is really the starting point of our decision and funding this agency. And I think it's not only in Berlin. Of course, in Berlin, it's big, it's huge, and you can feel that people are extremely politically engaged. It can be for croissant, for cake, or for buying a car. Like, there is a massive consumer journey before actually an actual purchase. But I think it's not only something which is specific to Germany or Berlin. I think it's definitely increasing in the entire world. And actually, there is a survey which has been done recently by Nielsen, the research house, which was proving that more and more people get truly interested and concerned by what is the impact on the environment and social as well.
Yes, I think that's very true. I've observed the same trend. Another thing I'm interested in there is that we could hear the passion in your voice when you talk about that and the principles and the things that you care about and I guess the reason that you wanted to start the agency in this way. Is that something you find difficult to explain to potential clients? Do you find that having, this is who we are, this is the type of projects and clients we want to work with, is that a difficult conversation, or do you find it's easy the other way and clients come looking for companies like yourselves that have matching values?
Then the new business managers who work in the agency find it much easier than working for other brands and or other agencies and defending the pitch. And I find it, I don't know if it's easier, but at least people are much more involved. And the budgets are not the same, I have to say, to be honest. But the people we work with are most of the time extremely engaged in what they do. And then, I wouldn't say it facilitates the conversation, but I would say the people we talk with are definitely more motivated and more engaged to make it happen.
Yeah, I can totally see that. I assume as well that on your team, as you've grown your team and the new business managers, that's something that they care about as well. So is it easier to keep your team engaged with that? Or is it irrelevant, or is it easier to keep the team engaged if you have that joint values?
That's a very good question. I would say so, but at the same time, that's really not the only thing you need to have a good team sticking together. And I think we are very lucky to have the people we have on board. And it certainly facilitates to have people who have the same motivation and the same principle and values. But I think it's maybe we tend to really do a lot of things together and to build a lot of projects together as well. Like, to give you an example, the new business managers are often as well in the meetings when we discuss about creativity. We never take the decisions only the partners or the creative together. It's really a conversation that most of the time we get across the different people who work at the agency. First of all, it's really enrich the conversation and the ideas that we can have. And I think it's much more valuable as well. And they feel more valuable as well. Then I think it's a different way to work as well, which get them very involved, not only the values, because, if you only have values, but not anything in the back to really back up your ideas and to make them alive on a daily basis, then people don't stick around as much as the people we've been working with. We joined at the start of the agency and that we keep working with now.
Does the same thing apply with clients as well? If you have this sort of joint values, do you have to build ongoing relationships beyond, specific projects?
Yes, definitely. Because in fact, we don't use the same ways to be remunerated. To give you an example, for Do You Green, we truly believed in her brand, and we offer to be, because she didn't have a very big budget at the start. Then we proposed to be paid on the pro rata of the incremental increase of her sales, which was a massive help for her. And we still have a very strong relationship and we still work together. Then, yes, it's even stronger for the clients we work with. And plus, for us, it's extremely important to have them happy, because I don't know how to explain, but that's the best way to advocate for the brands as well who would join in the future. And I don't know, I think it's because we believe so much in what they do that it enables us to be very motivated on what we work on and find different ideas, I would say, and things which really fit to their brand image. And I don't know, for the moment, I would say it creates even a stronger agency brand relationship.
And do you find, or how do you compare that to your previous experience before you started this agency, when you mentioned working on some really great brands and really great projects, but you didn't feel personally connected? Does it feel different now?
I was feeling personally connected on some accounts. Like it was truly enjoyable to work on the Volkswagen accounts, and the client was specifically interesting and knowing exactly what he wanted, which made the whole work even more interesting. You don't have the decision, you know, to say yes or not. When you are, when you have a brief, you have a brief. You know, you cannot ask questions, or you can ask questions, but you need to be very careful on which question you ask, you know, because there is 12 other agencies or even more who are looking for you to lose the account. Then you need to be very careful. You always are on very warm stones, walking on warm stones, I would say. It's very, our approach is so different. Like, to give you an example, there is an article which has been written from a German magazine called Business Punk, and they call the whole article the Berghain effect. I don't know if you know that very well-known club in Berlin called Berghain. Does it ring any bell?
Yes, I've definitely heard the name, but that's as far as much
information. Here we go. Everyone heard about that name, even if they are not in the clubbing scene. And the thing is, the specificity of that club is it's extremely hard to enter. And then that's a bit the same thing for our agency. We truly select the clients we are working with in order to really not damage our image as an agency. And then it enables us to ask questions before to actually work with the clients. When you are in a pitch situation fighting against 10 other agencies, you are truly not in the same situation. You see what I mean?
100% see. And so what kind of process or what kind of questions do you go through when you're deciding whether to work with a client or not?
Very good questions. And there is three of them. The first one is, do they have any CSR terms and policies in place? The second one, it's what is their impact on their environment? Then what is behind their chains of production? Where do they produce? And the third one, if they respect the international labor rights. But to be honest with you, most of the time when they produce in Europe, the third one is valid and completed. And it's more for the second, first, the two first questions that we need to look closely. And it's more when they produce abroad that we need to really closely look at these 3 points. But an idea that we had, and we hope to be able to do it in the long term, is we truly would like to have some audits, an audit structure within the agencies in a few years to be able to straighten the parameters to fulfill, to be able to work with us. And also we find that the sustainable, in brackets, the sustainable label is not as something we can believe on, or I would say the sustainable label is what organic or bio was 15 years ago. I mean, to give you an example, a very clear example, H&M had this green label on their dress, which was, and on their t-shirts as well. In terms of price, you should count 3 times the normal price, okay? And it has that green label called Conscious. It seems entirely sustainable or organic. And then, but organic and sustainable is not the same thing, you know. Organic, it's like the product that they produce with. And sustainable, it's all, if they compile with all the parameters and environmental, but social as well, which is extremely important for the local population. And then you have that very misleading green etiquette. And then in fact, when we took a look much more in depth because we wanted to know more about it, and we find a very interesting documentary made by a French channel where they actually review the production chains in India. But they have a lot of different localities where they produce. And you, the journalists, went at the end of the day when the workers finish at like 11 p.m., when they started at like 8 or 9 a.m., and then they asked them to collect the etiquette they were working on. And no surprise, you had normal etiquette of H&M, but you had that very precise green etiquette as well. And then we contacted iBoycott.org that we work with sometimes and that we helped as well in their launch. And then they contacted H&M, and H&M said, So e-Guys, in fact, it's green because it's produced with bio-cotton, but it's produced in the same conditions as the rest of our stuff. Then you see how a green etiquette, which is has a tone of sustainability, can be massively misleading. And then I think a lot of people are not protected against this. And the immediate danger is that people lose faith on buying more expensive to save the planet, but finally it doesn't have any consequence on the production. Then we think there is a need for a stronger audit. And there is great companies doing it. Don't get me wrong. Like, for example, New Balance, they do some surprise audits in the companies that they employ in the different countries. And like that, they don't have the way to change their process of working while the audit, if you understand what I mean, then it's really important to straighten the different ways to audit these companies, because specifically when they are abroad, because it's so easy to change documents over there as well. Sometimes they are very corrupted countries, and it's very important to understand. To give you another example, in the example of B Corp, which is supposed to be a bio label, the companies who apply to this label just send documents. But you can falsify so easily documents in these countries that it's not enough. You see what I mean? And this is why we really would like in the long term to straighten, first of all, the parameters that we agree with the clients, and therefore we really would like to have an audit entity within our agency in the future. Mm.
That's really interesting, and I guess ambitious sort of goal as well. Really, really powerful. Does that process at the moment, or like you building towards what you're describing there, does that take a lot of resources, a lot of effort? You know, it must be quite difficult to find clarity on some of those things at the moment in order to decide whether the client is a good fit or the project is a good fit for your agency.
That's a good question. At this stage, it doesn't require so much resources. It's mainly the business managers who look into details with the partners, but it doesn't require more resources than this at this stage. We wish that in the future we'll be able, as I said, to look much more in depth, but it's important as well to adapt to the market today. You know, it's very surprising for brands already now to have been asked these questions, but I hope in 5 years it's going to be much more accepted, and then we can go a bit deeper into details. It's very important to not brusque as well the clients and to do things in the right tempo, I would say, and in the right manner, adequate manner as well.
So when you say that sort of, you know, maybe they find it surprising, or have you found circumstances where you're working or starting to work with brands and they're defensive, or they react negatively to asking those questions?
No, most of the time, no. But it's true that I had a few like potential clients that we didn't work with in the future, I would say, but who were very evasive, very, very evasive. And then we were asking questions and they were, you could feel that they were feeling more embarrassed than angry. And then looking into details, no, it would be too much risk for us to lose our credibility, and we renounced to work with them. But I would say more embarrassment than angriness. Anger.
That's interesting. It's also interesting that you're conscious very much of your own, you know, as well as the values, but the perception of those values as well. Do you find that you ever have to make compromises, maybe for financial reasons or other reasons, or is there
No. Sorry, excuse the word. The answer is super easy. No. Actually, we work very closely with the European Commission, doing different workshops in the LDCs and sharing their GSP Plus initiative in these countries. And we had the exact same question from the European Commission the first time we presented our initiative. And they were saying, but how do you generate money, and is it enough? And then Martin and myself were in the meeting and I answered, but when money is enough money, you know, I think the revenues we generate are not as big as other agencies, but it's enough, I have to say. And I think it's better to work and really strongly believe in what you do instead of not being sure and lose that confidence, but have a bigger account, I would say. iWriter is the first solution, I would say.
Yeah, I think that makes complete sense. And I really like the fact that that was a very definite, very strong answer. Because quite often there's this sort of perception, or we're going to present a facade, you know, a front to the world saying, this is our values, this is who we are, or whatever. But then behind the scenes, there's all these compromises, and it's much more muddy and much less clear.
Impossible, because first of all, that's what I've seen on the media side. I'm not going to get into details, but there is a lot of things happening on the media side and things that made me extremely angry. Then it's impossible for me and for my colleagues to do the things that we've seen in the past. No way. And that's mainly thing that we strongly fight against. Then it wouldn't make sense. I think if you really, truly believe in what you do, money is not enough reason to change your belief, you know? I know it sounds very idealistic, but that's the truth. And I guess more and more people think the same. And we think 10 or I would say 15 years ago, profit was the main parameter that people were taking into consideration. But I strongly believe that the generation which are coming after, and starting with the millennials, then it's people who really think that there is, of course, profit because you need to survive, but other parameters that you need to take into consideration, such as social impact and impact on the environment. And I think these people are so much exposed to different sources of information that it's okay to actually not only have that very, very simple target, which is profit, but to align with other requirements, if it makes sense.
Makes complete sense. Do you have any formal or do you have any measurement structures around for within your agency, within how you identify or measure those other values or other things that are important? Or is it less measurement and more how you feel about how you're progressing in those areas?
First of all, when you say measurement, do you mean KPIs?
Yes, for example, KPIs. My question, I think, is basically it's very easy to measure profit. You know, it's a very clear number. Mm-hmm. Measuring things like the impact of social impact or environmental impact or the impact that you're enabling your clients and the brands you work with to have, it's much harder to put numbers and actually measurement around that, however formal that takes.
Of course. And I've been asked this question once as well, and my answer was, but how do you want, it was a brand that we helped, which creates swimming suits from fillet in the water, you know, fillet, plastic fillet, take plastic from the water, from the sea, which is, we caught it from the fillet that the fishes use. And then we help them, but the thing is, how do you want to measure, this is such a small effort compared to what can really be done, that it's extremely hard to measure our impact. And yeah, I think it's almost impossible at this stage. And I think as long as we truly help a change coming and helping to develop these sustainable brands, it's already a great thing, and it's inspirational for a lot of people as well. And this is a factor which is absolutely impossible to measure. But now, because measurement is a very good question, but now we work exactly the same way as another media agency concerning the KPIs.
That makes sense. Okay, so to change topic slightly, I'm looking forward to the future of your agency and the way you would like to go. What are the challenges and the opportunities that you're looking at as you look forward into the next year, 5, 10 years?
In terms of challenges, I think they are not yet to come. Let's see. Let's see what's happened. And I think it's true. But I think we need to adapt ourselves very quickly because we are progressing in a very fast changing world. Then I think it's how we are going to adapt ourselves in the future, which is going to be the challenge, because we need to be always in that edge in order to really remain there, I think, because other companies like us are definitely going to appear, I guess, even if we are the first in the world to do that now. I'm pretty sure, and it's okay, You know, more people take this turn and better it is for the planet anyway, then we are not going to complain about that. Then this would be the challenge. Now, in terms of opportunities, is that more and more, I would say, government people are interested with what we do. And we are creating, actually, there is a conference that we are having in Berlin the 19th of October with Arte Magazine. I don't know if you know Arte Magazine, do you know?
It's no,
a French,
no,
okay. It's a French-German TV channel called Arte, and they have a magazine called Arte Magazine. Mm-hmm. And they are very specialized in what is cultural, artistic stuff. And they are moderating a conference that we are doing with Green Buzz in Berlin. And we are inviting very different people, or I would say actor of sustainable advertising. And this is an opportunity, I find, because we just created the event and there is already some people interested. And I was thinking initially that only a few people would be like show some interest, but not at all. Like, it seems that it really interests people. And this is definitely an opportunity because more people are interested and more we have the opportunity to do even greater things together, I guess. And one of the other opportunities as well is and this one is probably the most, as much as it's an opportunity, it's also a challenge. What we are doing with the World Economic Forum, we've been invited, it was in November last year, to go in Bruxelles in the Commission, in the European Commission, and discuss with other specialists about online data privacy, which we find is extremely important. And it's part of sustainable advertising as well, because it's very important, we find, to be less intrusive and to avoid certain time of targeting for the users. And then the whole question was about how the industry can actually improve. And it was a very interesting meeting. And then this is definitely an opportunity, but a challenge as well, to fulfill the normal requirements, as much as working in advertising, but taking the back of the online users and really think on where we need to stop and where we need to consider it. Online privacy, data privacy.
To me, that's really interesting. There's two things there which are, I guess, a larger remit than the purely doing the advertising, doing the campaigns, doing the communications and media stuff. Yeah. And is that the sort of thing that comes about because, you know, you and the agency are focused on these broader values, do you think? I mean, is there a direct connection between that we want to work in this work, do this work because of these values, and therefore we're looking at this broader picture?
Of course. Of course. Of course. Then, in fact, to get back to what we do very quickly, and it's really not to do like an ad for our agency, but it's for you to understand clearer what means sustainable advertising. Then, first of all, as you really clearly understood, and as it's very simple as well, we promote exclusively sustainable brands. But what we do as well is we do some workshops in the LDCs, least developed countries, where we actually explain why is it so important to produce on a more sustainable way. And we explain as well that there is an even bigger target than what they can imagine who is interested by this kind of production in Europe. And then we explain as well different techniques that they can use to promote, which are very cheap because most of the time they have limited budgets, but which are very targeted as well. Then we explain online what it is and different targeting techniques that they could use. And then the last point that we explain is the GSP Plus initiative, which is led by the European Commission and which helps the sustainable production from the LDCs to export to Europe for free, that most of the time they do not know about it. Then it really creates a virtuous cycle between advertising, production, and exportation in LDCs, people who need it. Then this is what we do as well. And the last point, which is very important and that we take the lead on, it's really to defend online users and data privacy more than the actual and usual industry, I would say. Then these are really the points we differentiate ourselves. And it came naturally to do these three things. They are totally imbricated. You know, if you talk about sustainable advertising, you need to talk about these different points. Then thinking of something a bit more altruist, thinking about then the other countries, how we can help with all that knowledge that we collected for years, for decades. And then also think of the online consumer, which is like bombarding with advertising now with online, even more than what it was for TV. Then if we are talking about something fair, it needs to be fair on every level.
I remember at the start of the conversation you said about taking responsibility, which I think is really interesting, tying to that point there about really understanding the buyer's rights and helping defend them at the same time as being part of the industry, also trying to get them to buy the right brands.
Yeah.
I think that's really interesting. Do you find that with the workshops and the LDC, the work you're doing in LDCs and with countries and organizations like that, is that with suppliers directly who are working with your clients, or is it kind of a separate thing entirely?
No, never. It's totally separated. First of all, we don't have any power or suggestion on the attendees of the meetings. They are selected by the Chamber of Commerce or by the European delegation itself. Then we have, like, they are supposed to be sustainable. But in the Chamber of Commerce situation, they were not so often, or they were not all, I have to say. And in the case of the European delegation, yes, they were all, but they were very small producers. But it was amazing because we had the occasion to really be confronted to people who hardly actually know what online is. Because, you know, they don't have the same online penetration as what we have, not even the same kind of broadband, you know. Then they don't have the same usage as us. Then it's truly fulfilling to help these people to understand how it works and to give them some clues on how they can improve their business. You feel that what you do is like 10 times more valuable sometimes. That's what we can do for normal clients who are used to it. And
Yeah, really rewarding then.
Yeah, totally. I would say in a human level, at least. But in a way, of course, we enjoy working in both configuration as much as. But yeah, in a human perspective, it's truly fulfilling, I would say.
And one area that I'm personally very interested in running my own little agency is your own, the personal journey you've gone through from founding the agency and running and growing now the agency. How much of a roller coaster has that been? Have you always felt confident and strong about the agency? And how would you maybe speak to other agency owners, other founders who want to run to work in a way that's tied closely to their values? What would you say to them to help support them through that journey?
No, of course we had some doubts. I think it's part of the journey, and it is what makes it interesting as well, you know? Like all the questions you can have while you doubt are questions that most of the time you must ask yourself. Then I would say to doubt is entirely normal, but perseverance is extremely important to make it happen and succeed. And I think one of the other very important things are to be surrounded with the right people, the people you can really trust, the right people, something. Sorry, my R sometimes is very difficult to pronunciate. Yes, and with the good people, people you can really trust and can be, who can definitely have a lot of empathy. And work across different disciplines as well. Yeah, and I don't know which kind of advice I could give, but yeah, as long as you strongly believe in what you're doing and that you accept to question yourself as much as possible in order to improve, because that's the thing. The thing is, for any agency, that's the way it works. You need to always question yourself in order to know how you can do things better, because life changes extremely quickly in the world we live in, then it's extremely important to always know how to adapt yourself. Then I would say that's definitely the two things to remember and keep, and definitely one of the most important as well, it's to be with the people who help you and that you strongly believe in and trust, because it's thanks to these people that the agency is still on and even stronger. It's thanks to Luke, to Ricky, to Martin, to Alex. Like, without these people, seriously, it could not have happened. And it's so important to have these people who share the same ideas, the same energy, because, you know, you don't generate so much revenues at the start. Then you need to have people on board who really believe in what you're doing. And as long as you have these people on board, then it's going to be a beautiful journey.
You can get all the links and notes from this episode on happyporchradio.com, where you can also find out how to send us questions, feedback, and get involved in the conversation about this series. If you enjoyed the show, please share with anyone else who might enjoy it too. Thanks for listening.